I have a lot on my heart today. I don't know what we're going to get through and what we're not. I'm okay with continuing these as we did. I'm going to do a little bit of a recap from last week for those that missed, and then we're going to jump right into it. But last little bit of exercise I'm going to ask you to do with me. But go ahead and let's stand up and let's do our declaration together. I think they have it on. Yeah, there we go. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. You may be seated. And Jesus, I thank you for the way that you've already moved in us and through us this morning. I thank you that one of the things that I thought of, and I'm just going to vocalize it, I saw each person contributing to the building, contributing to the life, contributing to everything that's going on here. It wasn't one person or one person's voice or anything like that. We each had a hand in it, Lord. And I believe that's what you want this time that we spend together each week to be about. It's that building together and then taking what we've learned, taking what we've shared, what we've heard to everybody we come into contact with. So, Lord, I pray for opportunities of ministry right now in Jesus' name for each and every person in this room. And I'm going to say this to you guys again, but Lord, I declare right now that we're going to look around the building, we're going to see all the spots that we have available, and everyone in this room, so say this is prophetic, but everyone in this room is going to find one person that doesn't know Christ, and they are going to invite them, and we're going to love on them in Jesus' name, and you're going to do what you do best, and that's woo them unto yourself and add them to the kingdom, and we are going to celebrate with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys receive that commission to find someone, invite them to church, however long that takes. But the key is you don't say, hey, you're a sinner, come to church. It's do a relationship with them, walk with them, talk with them, find out more about them. And I'm gonna say this in this way: they're gonna invite themselves, you know. So it's probably gonna be a little bit easier for you than what you may have learned or maybe what you've seen in the past. So that is our focus, and something that came to me to kind of color that a little bit more in our prayer time is: what do you believe in God for? You can pray whatever prayer that you want, but unless you put color to it and say, God, I'm asking you for a soul. And then you upgrade it. I'm asking you for two souls, and then five, and then 10. You think God will answer those prayers? Yeah. He'll really answer those if you put some work to it and say, today, when I go to the coffee store, I'm listening. Who do I need to talk to? Today, when I go to the restaurant, because I'm not going to walk around in fear. So today, when I go to the restaurant, show me who I need to pray for. Show me who I need to talk to. Gas station, mall, wherever it is that you're going. And I pray, here's something you need to hear. Goodness. Get out of your house a little bit. Come on, listen to me. I understand all the situations, totally do, especially the folks that are introverted. But this is not the type of faith and the activity that Jesus wants us to do that's going to have us hide. And a great lie of the enemy is hide so that you're safe. Be safe, but do what he's asked you to do. I'm going to say it one more way, and then I'm going to move on from this topic. Does the verse in multiple gospels say, wait, stay right where you're at, and make disciples? What is the two-letter word that he uses? Go. Was that anywhere unclear in the Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Dead Sea Scrolls, anything that you've read over time? I'll even throw it to you this way. Does any other religion tell them to wait, or do they tell them to proselytize? Go. So wherever that is, and whatever safety precautions that you need to feel comfortable, to feel like you're not a hazard, if that's your mindset, I understand all sides. Just go for someone. Can we do that? I'm going to ask one more time, audibly. Can we do that? We need to. Don't let your life pass you by saying, God, I wish I would have. Tina was getting real with you. When you stand before Jesus, do you think he's going to care about your excuses or what you were concerned with? Or is he going to ask you point blank, what did you do with what I gave you? I don't know why we went there this morning, but I hope that's okay. It's just, yes, Lord, do it. Do it in us and help us yield to you. I'm going to recap a little bit of last week. We spoke on the topic of surrender. I surrender. And at the end, we added the all, because we wanted to understand some things that we needed to surrender, but then capitalize it with really anything that gets in front of Jesus and his mission needs to go. Okay? Couple things I wanted to remind you of, and I don't know that I'm going to dive into those specifically today, but they go with our next points as we get going here. But the text of the Ten Commandments, the reason why some people have asked me, why do Christians have so many rules, which is the question that we're asking. One of the persons that was talking to me about it said, you say things and you describe things or you quote scriptures, and I'm looking around the room at the tried and true, the veterans of the faith, and they're nodding their head. Now, he's like, I don't know if they know what you're talking about or not, but he's like, nonetheless, I don't. I don't know where that is in scripture. So I feel kind of inadequate, like, what do I do with that, and how do I go about this? And so one of his questions was, I know the Ten Commandments, but I couldn't tell you where they are. You know what I'm saying? So like it was a legit question, and I'm like, hey, I love that. I love your honesty. Right? So one of the, and I called it a head fake. It's just not intentional, but it's so important that it's listed twice. So Exodus 20, we read last time, verses 2 through 17, is one iteration of that. And Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21 is the other. And so I wanted to share that as you study the word, one of the things that you are perfectly in line with asking Jesus is, could you help me remember the places we go and the things that you teach me? I want to know. I want to be able to think back to, oh yeah, I read that in Deuteronomy, right? Or, oh yeah, I read that in Exodus or Mark or Matthew or whatever. And the thing that I love about the narrative of the Gospels is because they're synoptic, because they're adding and building on each other and building on the story of Jesus. It's cool because it's like, well, that one's in Mark and it's in Matthew and it's in Luke and it's in John, right? Like you get all these stories to help centralize that for you. And one of the things that Jesus told me in my study and over many years, and this is a freebie, but I love telling stories. They're memorable to me and they have connection to me. And it's so beautiful. If you haven't seen The Chosen, teaser, spoiler, we're going to watch a clip of that today. But it colors it for us. It draws in some lines, and it helps us get back to that childlike faith of imagination and saying, oh, now I see Jesus. I see a side of him that I didn't think about before. I see a perspective that I didn't previously have. So it kind of colors in the lines a little bit and allows us to dream and allows us to hear in new ways. And one of the ways that I appreciate the way that Alan says it in the reverse, I'm going to say it in this way, but sometimes we don't know what we haven't experienced or what we haven't seen. So we're sort of deaf in that area, right? Does that make sense? But when it's made visible to us, when we then receive the knowledge and then ask the Lord for the revelation and the understanding, now he can speak to us in a whole new way that is like, wow, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. And he's like, I know. That's why we did this little exercise. So with that said, one of the powerful things or the powerful thoughts I want to tie last week together with this week is the fact that after they received the Ten Commandments, after they made the erroneous statement of, we don't want to hear from you anymore, use him and talk to us through the man rather than directly through you, so we shut off God, right? They still had this desire to uphold and to keep, which is a good desire, but to uphold and to keep the law. They wanted to do that. So much so that as we concluded our message last week, they set up rules based on their standard rather than God's standard. God said, here's my standard. And they didn't see, oh goodness, without your voice actively speaking to us and helping us, I can't meet your standard. That was oblivious to them. Can you see that? Do you see that that's oblivious to us today? And without the power of Jesus and Holy Spirit in our life, we are in the same boat. So I'm going to say we a lot today. I say we when we talk about Adam and Eve, because if it was me or John or Eli or Teresa in the same boat, we would have done the same thing. Are you with me today? So we're going to say we because it's not them, right? Us, right? Are you with me? Okay, so we set up rules according to our standards with the lie, the good. Remember, there's always that mixture of truth there that we wanted to keep as law. But the lie was we couldn't. We thought we could, and we added all that, and it didn't work out. All right, now today's message. Today's message is new beginnings. In Deuteronomy 29:29, after all of this is going on, and we're getting instruction for life, and we're getting the blessings if we follow it, we're getting the curses if we don't, right? We come to an interesting point of scripture, and I read this and reread this and prayed it, and like I was just like, oh, you know, it's so good. So I encourage you to write down Deuteronomy 29:29, and I'm going to tell you the thing that all the pastors say. Figure out what it's there for. Go back and read it, and then read it in all of its fullness. So Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." The things revealed belong to us and our children for the next couple months, couple days. She beat me to it. Like, you get it. Forever. So something that I want to kind of mix in what we're going to be talking about today is a fairly simple statement, but you're going to have to chew on it a little bit, but it's worthy of it. Truth stewarded well attracts greater truth. Truth stewarded well attracts greater truth. So when God reveals his great mysteries to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, what are you doing with it? Because the word says, Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And he makes known to us the great mysteries of God. That's what Paul says. So what are you doing with what he's teaching you? Don't measure it against your standard in your way. Keep it raw and clear, exactly the way that you heard it. And share it that way. No filter. Are you with me? Because it's a discovery, right? And Robin's going to discover something differently about that word or that truth than I'm going to discover it. It's our perspective. It's our character, right? It's the way that God is speaking to us. But I think Robin and I would be in error if we said, this is what God says. This is the only way it will ever be. Like, that's crazy. His ways are higher. Do you not think he has the capability to meet each and every one of our perspectives according to our upbringing, according to our culture, according to our likes, our dislikes, all of that? So if he's capable of that, I can't take a truth of scripture and conform it to my standards. Are you with me? Now, we're not talking about Jesus died and rose again. That's pretty clear. You can't color that another way, right? But we're talking about the mysteries of God. And I think where a lot of people get mixed up, and we're chasing a rabbit, so I'm going to move on, but where a lot of people get mixed up is they try to make new things out of a revealed truth that can go so many different ways for so many different people. And then they're hard and fast on it. Like, all right, this is one of our tenets of the faith, and if you break this, you're not a part of this family anymore, right? Does that make sense? Like, we get weird with stuff. Don't get weird with it. Ask him for more. Ask him for revelation. And if he's called you to a group of people that are like-minded, then share it. But otherwise, present it and take your hands off of it and just say, however it sticks, however it lands, I trust you. Are we good this morning? Okay. All right, so We get through all of the law. We get through the readjustments of our standards and how all that says. And then we got to my point last week of what does Jesus and the Holy Spirit say about the law? And so Matthew 7:12, and I could go into this more, so ask me later. I've got some other notes on it if you want it. But the golden rule was not something that was set aside specifically for the Jews only. It actually was something that was fairly prevalent in the world at that time, something that they were aware of or something that they talked about. So Jesus often used things that they probably had a vague understanding of, and he expounded on it in greater ways. So understand that part. If you want the backstory, come let me know. But in Matthew 7:12, it says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." And as we talked about last time, the law was the first five books of Moses, and many of the synagogues had other scrolls from the prophets at different varieties. So they may not have had all of them, but they had some of them. So he's speaking to them based on what they know. Now let's look at Mark 12:28 through 34. "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' Jesus said, 'The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.'" I want to pause just for 1 second. Isn't it funny that the question to try to trip up Jesus, and I the guy had to know at this point, like, hey, listen, he's saying things that we're thinking. Like, just be mindful if you ask teacher anything, because it's not like the other ones, right? You know, so he had to kind of know. So he asked him a question: what is the most important? Hinting at singular, right? Which one is the most important? Jesus gave him two. So I'm just like, all right, he already busted the doors open. Like, you're not even ready for this. Like, you came to the game and you're not ready to play because you don't understand the rules, right? Are you with me? So this is one of the funniest things of all time. And I'm just that way. So you might not think it's funny at all, but I thought it was hilarious. And so in verse 32, the guy's like trying to pat him on the back. Like, oh, well done. Well spoken, teacher. The man replied, "You are right." So now he's trying to teach him, which is kind of gross, but anyways, it's what he does. "You are right in saying that that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And I imagine Jesus is thinking like, duh, I know, that's what I just said. "When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, though, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" So in spite of his, I don't know, trying to trip him up or trying to ask him these questions with maybe alternative reasons or purposes, Jesus blessed him. Hey, not only am I going to tell you the two greatest things, but hey, listen, you're not far from what it is that we're trying to do here. You're close. And my other favorite part, this is what I said, this is kind of funny to me. From that point on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Like, don't ask him those things, right? You know, it's just, it's so cool. But you needed to see those 2 points is the law's not done. Jesus is simplifying it and making it, I'll say it this way. Often when we make rules and laws, I mean, go to like a city neighborhood watch meeting or something, listen to how wordy and how just like, how do you remember that? Like, that is the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. Why do we say it that way? Can we just say, hey, do this? Like, keep it clear. And we wonder why people break the rules and break the laws, right? But keep it clear. So Jesus said, hey, all that is good. Some of the what you added is not. But I'm going to clear it up real quick for you. Here's what you must do. Got it now? Right? I like that. Romans 13, and I love the way that this says it, because it echoes what Jesus said and clears it up even further. The full context is, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. There it is again. The commandments: you should not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Because love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Like, are you seeing Holy Spirit add? Are you seeing him clarify? Jesus was kind of picking him apart a little bit and saying, oh yeah, you're doing good not to murder anybody, but you hate him, so you might as well, because like you're feeling the same way, right? Are you with me? You're keeping the command outwardly, but inwardly, that dead stuff in there, it's got to go. It's stopping you. It's keeping you from all that he wants for you. We're going to read a story, but everything that we're going to talk about today is kind of hinged on these last couple points that we made, so you need to really listen to and process the story. Luke 10, 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, this is the expert in law answering now, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Imagine going to heaven and standing before the master, and you get reminded of the most idiotic question that you ever asked him, and it all just kind of sinks into your brain all at once, and you're like, oh no. Right? That's all you've got. Like, oh, you might not even be able to say the words. This is that moment. And who is my neighbor? Right? Ah, goodness gracious. Verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes and they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead, or just leaving him for dead, however you want to say that or read that. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor? To to the man who fell into the hands of robbers. The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." So Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I want to set the stage. We sort of know, or you might have heard various versions or translations share this story, so it's probably not too unfamiliar. But something that is my absolute favorite thing of all time is perspective. I love hearing stories, and I love all the different versions I get to hear. I love listening to Grandpa's story, and I love listening to Dad's story. They just tell it different, and they color it in different ways, and I get a greater picture because I wasn't there. So I get to see it from all sides. One of the coolest things I get to do is when my kids are involved, then I get to hear their version of the story, and I'm like, whoa, you know, like the story just got like, you know, multidimensional because they see things totally different. So what I wanted to share with you today is another story. This is not found in Scripture. This is about Scripture, but I believe that it's Holy Spirit led, and it's so powerful. But we're gonna dissect a little bit of it at the end here, but I just feel led to jump through and go straight to that. So we're gonna dim the lights and bear with us as we kind of get everything going. But this is the story we just heard, just told in a little bit different way.
So you followed him all the way into Samaria?
We did suggest the alternate route along the Jordan.
You didn't think it could be dangerous for you?
Of course.
When I was a little girl, my father told me the Messiah would bring an end to pain and suffering. If you are who people are saying you are, when will you do that?
I'm here to preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom that is not of this world. A kingdom that is coming soon. Where, yes, sorrow and sighing will flee away. I make a way for people to access that kingdom. But in this world, bones will still break. Hearts will still break. But in the end, the light will overcome darkness. Speaking of broken bones, what's the story?
I fell off a horse.
Well, I didn't see a pasture.
Yet, it wasn't mine.
Ah, a friend's horse. That's always dangerous.
No, not exactly.
Oh.
Look. You've already done so much for me that I didn't deserve.
Come, Rebecca. It's time for bed. Say good night to your new friends.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
If you knew who I am, you would never have helped me.
That's not true. This is what we Jews do. We tell and listen to stories. Our stories connect us. Tell me your story.
We ran out of money and food. My little Rebecca, I could see her ribs through her skin. And Hedva, her eyes turned gray. There had been a drought, so there was no work in town. I had a friend in Tiratana who was also in bad straits. We traveled south past Ephraim and lied in wait along the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. We attacked a Jew who was traveling alone. Pulled him down from his horse, took all his money and all his clothes. He fought back, so Dishon knocked him down. Hit his head on a rock. I thought he was probably dead. Dishon was to take the Jews' belongings and sell them to bond traders in Anathoth. I was to ride north and sell the horse at a Roman outpost. But I wasn't on for 10 minutes when she reared up, threw me, broke my leg. I had to crawl on my elbows and forearms to the nearest town and beg for a ride back to Sychar, worse off than before. So now you know what you've done. The kind of man you've helped. Every day, I think about that Jew. Naked and alone on the road, possibly dead. I could be a murderer. He didn't die. Somebody came along and helped him. How do you know? Melek. I know. I promise you. He did not die. Here. Isn't everyone in town falling at your feet?
The shepherd leaves the 99 on the mountain to search for the one that went astray.
What do you want?
Believe my words. Return to synagogue. Search Torah.
I never learned to read.
And listen to the word read aloud. Let it affect your heart. See what happens.
And then what?
Tell others.
You know the crime I committed? In cold blood? You'd help someone like me?
He would.
Sleep on it. Be in town for one more day.
She is asleep.
We better go back into town before it gets too late.
Yes.
We never know what sort of men may lay in wait along the side of the road, huh? Too soon?
You told him.
I think he already knew.
May I?
Sleep well tonight, my friend.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
So you fall.
We need mops. So the thing that I believe was so powerful about that telling. And I love stories, like I said, but that's just what Jesus would do, right? And if you haven't seen this episode, I'm going to spoil the rest of it for you. The hug was his healing. Jesus woke up the next day laughing, as Tina said, and he's praising God and blessing God. And the disciples ask him, "What's going on, man? Like, what's the deal?" And he said, someone's having a good day this morning. And when they meet the man is walking on his own legs. The deep part of the question I want to ask you, if you were listening there, I don't know about you, but I've asked God a number of times, why would you help someone like me? And his answer was always the same, like just love and overwhelming, like I want you. Heaven won't have one, and I'm not good with that. So I want you to receive what I'm doing for you so that heaven will have you. And I believe that Jesus is telling each and every one of us that. We're telling him all the reasons why he doesn't want to spend his blood and his life on us. And he's saying, I don't have one of you in heaven. I want you there with me. I'll take care of the sin problem. I'll take care of the mess. But I want you. That's why I came. I want to do one last weird thing. Oh, hold on, 2 seconds. Before we jump away from that, the other thing I want you to chew on, a little nugget there that we can keep, is he said, "What shall I do?" Did you catch that? And Jesus said, "Return to synagogue," church, family, body, fellowship. Turn to synagogue. Study Torah. Listen or read the word. Well, I can't read, so listen to it. See what happens, and then do it. Go tell somebody, right? Did you catch those parts? That's what we've been saying all morning long. There's another way to say it, right? So you use that. If you can't read, cool. Have someone read it to you. There's a lot of Bible apps I can recommend to you that have a cool little audio feature, and I use it, right? Like all the time. Let it read it to you. And I'm going to give you the teaser. What happens is you start changing. You start being transformed by the words of life. And all he wants us to do is not fight it and then go share it. Let it change you and then share it. We got some music going on with the worship team here as we're wrapping up. I want to read a scripture from you that will tie a nice little bow on this. It's found in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. It's in the Passion Translation. He says, "I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide." This verse was written for me. This is Chris. Insert your name here. Chris, don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you to where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. And the thing that had to change, that I'm inviting you to accept and receive today, saved or not, because I believe many of you are saved in this room, but there's still something we're missing. You're not dead yet. You have to die. And it's scary. We think there's a whole lot more to it than there really is. But without death, those new beginnings can't come to life. Your new Holy Spirit life can't start until you let go of your old life, your flesh life, who you were. Relationship, this walking with Jesus is going to force us to put to death all of those old things and go where we haven't been before. Can you hear that today? So the production team has been instructed to do something. This is where it gets weird, so just sit still and be safe. Go ahead. For those of you online, we're still here. Don't worry. This is where, I'll take care of it. This is where we were. It's like Jeremy's sort of doing with his cord right now. Fumbling around in the darkness. Thinking we have life. Thinking we have the answers. Thinking we know what to do and who it is we serve. Jesus came on the scene and said, I'm a light. And when Jesus told us to go and tell somebody about what he's doing, something else happened. Go ahead. Oh, wow. And then I'm going to go tell somebody else because I can see where I'm going. And he has it. And she has it. Go with me here. Just bear with me. And now he has it. I see another one over here. She's got it. And I'm gonna help us all out right here. I'm gonna go to the man, right? Because Jesus is specific. He knows who he's doing and what he's doing when he's doing it. So now he has it. And guess what he's gonna do? He's gonna illuminate it for a lot of us. So we get bigger lights and more lights, and then I'm going around and I'm grabbing more. So if you got one, go ahead and start lighting it up because you're near someone who has it. They've got it. Oh, wow. We can see now. Whoa. Like, wow, things change. They look a little bit different, right? I can see the features. I can see what's going on. They've got it. They've got it. Are you with me? Are you seeing what's happening? All right, now bring the rest up. Let's see how bright we can get it. Let's do that. I want to see what happens. Okay, so now my light joined with each of your lights helps us walk around a whole lot easier than we did before, right? Are you with me? He said, light of the world. We're fumbling in darkness. Not going to work out very well for us. But the light of the world is here now. And you need to see that he's living in you. And he wants you to share that. He wants you to illuminate that mess. Because where the light is, our sin and the lies and the darkness cannot hide. You're exposed. I need you to hear today. We've all been exposed. So you don't need to sit there and say, oh, I don't know that I want to share what's going on in my life because I'm just such a filthy sinner. You know, this is too embarrassing. There's freedom in people and their vulnerability. When I say I'm a big fat mess and I was on my way to the place where it's a whole lot warmer than I like it. And if it wasn't for Jesus saving me and transforming me, I would not be where I am today. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. I still need the light. And even sometimes with my light, I turn it off and I fumble a little bit. I'm like, oh, I better get that light back out. Are you with me today? So I want to lead you in prayer. And then I'm going to ask you to do something as we come back next week that I want you to see if you remember. And I believe that you will. But let's just join in hands, join in prayer together. If you want to stand, sit, whatever. But I ask that you just lift your hands to heaven. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. Goodness, I am overcome with the amount of blessing, the amount of love that you've poured out on us. Poured out on us. Jesus, I got a whole lot better deal in the mix than you did. But I thank you for being obedient, even to death on the cross, for me. And we all in this room can say that. You didn't just die for sin, you died for me. Thank you, Jesus. So with all that I have, Romans 12:1, with all that I have, I give it to you. I am your living sacrifice. Use me for anything that you want. Even if in the moment I think that it's lame, Lord, change my heart so that I see how special it is. And readjust my focus so that I'm less concerned about what I'm doing and more concerned with who I'm doing it with. It's you. It's only you, Lord. I want to see you. I want to hear you more each and every day. I want to pray this prayer together because sometimes it's awkward to ask people to pray it alone. So we're in the family. We are the family of God, and we're going to pray this together. So if you are here today and you have strayed or you don't know what we're talking about, I want you to repeat after me. Jesus, everyone, Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender everything to you. I am yours. Help me to go and tell everyone I know about you. Use me for your purposes. And help me to die to my old life so that I can rise in new life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the second or the third or the fifth, come talk to me. I want to pray with you more. I want to help you walk this cross life out and show you what that means, what that looks like, and more importantly, just do it together. Better together. With that, I'm going to formally dismiss you. Online folks, can we give them a hand clap and just let them know we love them? Thank you for joining us today. Same thing for you. Message me if you accepted Jesus for the first time, and I'd love to pray with you and get some stuff into your hands. And with that, we are formally dismissed. I believe the worship team is going to continue on this spirit of worship. So if you'd like to reside in here a little bit, I know that I typically do. Don't want to go home. So feel free to do that and just rest in the presence of God. But we bless you. We encourage you to come to small groups Monday and Wednesday, 6:30. Message us for more info. Love you guys.